It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for joining us. Right now, we are talking shipwrecks, specifically those famous wrecks off the eastern coast of Wisconsin. In June, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration designated 962 square miles of Lake Michigan as the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary. North to south, the sanctuary runs from the southern portion of Kewaunee County through Ozaukee County and includes the famous ports of Two Rivers and Port Washington. Now, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about the many sunken shipwrecks that dot the underwater coastline off of Lake Michigan? Have you been scuba diving or have you gone snorkeling to explore these shipwrecks? What was your experience like? Call in now at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, or if you'd prefer, you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. And if you do, and if you have any photos, feel free to send them along. We'd like to take a look. Kathy Green joins us now. She's an underwater archaeologist and the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. Kathy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So this sanctuary was established in June. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary, the designation process has been going on since 2014. So the communities along the lakeshore here, Two Rivers, Manitowoc, Sheboygan, Port Washington, worked with the state to submit a nomination to NOAA way back in 2014. And that started the designation process, which was carried on by NOAA in conjunction with the state and these local communities. Lots of public input along the way to where we got earlier this summer with designation.
So with designation, some new restrictions are going to be put in place. For people who might boat in the area, what can they expect?
So Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary protects this unique and important historic collection of shipwrecks. And so the restrictions that are in place are directly related to those wrecks themselves. And basically the only addition to the state legislation and state restrictions that are there are that you can't anchor directly onto these shipwreck sites. So as part of the management of these sites, NOAA will be putting out shipwreck mooring buoys to make it easier for dive boats to locate and divers to descend and ascend from the sites, and then also preventing sites from inadvertent anchor damage.
Now, when we think about sanctuary programs, we usually think of maybe wildlife that needs protection or maybe ecosystems that are in a fragile state. But this is an archaeological sanctuary. Can you talk about the importance of this designation and why most people might not be aware that this is something that, you know, the government and communities want to protect?
Yeah, and you know, it's important to put
We are talking to Kathy Green right now. We're having a few technical issues. Oh, there's I think she's back.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, we lost you for a second. Right when you were starting your answer, can you repeat that?
You bet. NOAA's Office of National Marine Sanctuaries serves as a trustee for a network of underwater parks that encompasses more than 600,000 square miles of marine and Great Lakes waters, from Washington State to the Florida Keys and from Lake Huron to American Samoa. And it includes a system of 15 national marine sanctuaries and two marine national monuments. And each of those, as you indicated, has a different characteristic. So it might be a population of humpback whales. It might be a series of fragile coral reefs or a combination of resources from shipwrecks to kelp beds. So the one here in in Wisconsin and Lake Michigan really focuses on those archaeological resources. And there's a couple reasons that we have, this would be the second National Marine Sanctuary in the Great Lakes that focuses on archaeological resources. And that really is, you know, there are a lot of shipwrecks here in this, in the Great Lakes, and they're very well preserved because of the cold, fresh water here. You don't find material remains from the mid-1800s like this in the ocean, this well preserved, this well intact.
We are talking to Kathy Green right now. She is an underwater archaeologist and the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And we are taking your calls right now. Have you heard of this new sanctuary? What questions do you have about it? And if you are a shipwreck buff, call in with some of the ones that you find the most interesting. Our number is 800-642-1234. And of course, you can email ideas@wpr.org. Now, Kathy, You were touching a little bit on the shipwrecks that have been really well preserved. We know that there are 36. We have located 36 of them, but there could be around 59 shipwrecks that we haven't accounted for yet. Why haven't we found them? And will the new sanctuary allow more searching for them?
Absolutely. So, you know, the sanctuary will be co-managed by the state of Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin actually has one of the country's top underwater archaeology programs as part of the Wisconsin Historical Society, with over 30 years of stewardship on these historic sites. And so, you know, the documentation that's been done so far and the wrecks that have been found so far have been found either by local divers and wreck hunters or by the state. But there's a lot of Lake Michigan out there, you know, nearly 1,000 square miles just in the sanctuary alone. And so searching will continue. It's done these days by a lot of remote sensing techniques. This is looking with sonar, looking with magnetometers. I think one of the most exciting things about sanctuary designation is that there will be more tools, more resources to be looking for new sites.
And how do we know that those ships are out there, but we just haven't found them yet?
And, you know, here's the interesting thing about marine archaeology is a small percentage of that field involves diving and being in the water. A good percentage of it is historical research. So it's through historical records that we know that approximately that number of vessels sank in this area. So between lightkeeper logs, insurance records, we can piece together the history, and then that gives us a blueprint of where to look for sites.
Let's talk about one ship. It's a shipwreck in Lake Michigan. It's the Niagara. Can you tell us about what happened to this boat?
So with shipwrecks anywhere, right, there's going to be a number of reasons why it becomes a submerged resource instead of its original intent, which is a floating transportation vessel, right? So the Niagara sank because it caught fire. It was a passenger vessel built in 1845. It sank in 1856, and it actually is one of the largest losses of life of a wreck on the Great Lakes. 60 people lost their lives. This was a passenger vessel that could carry 300 people. It caught fire off Port Washington, this was a sidewheel steamboat. And at the time, it was really considered to be one of the best steamers on the Great Lakes. It was richly appointed and a very popular vessel. But wooden vessels and steam engines and coal and wood-fired steam engines can sometimes not be a great combination. So when the vessel caught fire, it sank relatively quickly. just about a mile offshore. There were several vessels in the site who were able to recover many of the passengers. But again, 60 people didn't make it off that wreck. It's in about, I believe, about 60 feet of water off Port Washington. It's a really great dive site. There's still that steam machinery in place. And the paddle wheels itself, while they've kind of collapsed over the years, you can still see kind of that lower hull that was not affected by the fire, and then a lot of those components. So it's a great dive within recreational limits and easily accessible from shore. So it's one of the more popular recreational dive sites in the sanctuary.
We are talking to Kathy Green right now of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. We're talking about shipwrecks in Lake Michigan in light of the recent marine sanctuary established in the lake this summer. Of course, you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're talking about Lake Michigan shipwrecks this hour. In June, a 962-square-mile marine sanctuary was established in Lake Michigan to protect both known and unknown shipwrecks in the lake. Our guest right now is Kathy Green of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And we want to hear from you. What do you know about the state's shipping industry and its history? What questions do you have about it? If you've ever gone diving in Lake Michigan to see some of these wrecks, we want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Now, Kathy, before we took a very quick break, we were talking about the Niagara. So let's look a little bit at the sort of broad range of wrecks at the bottom of Lake Michigan. What kind of boats have we found?
So, you know, the Great Lakes were one of the country's busiest shipping lanes for a good portion of our history. So from about 1830 to about 1930, there was an extreme volume of shipping here on the Great Lakes. And so the thousands and thousands of ships that spanned that history, and we're talking everything from coastal sailing vessels that would trade between these small ports to ocean-going ships that could traverse the globe. That's kind of the span of what's out there. The resources that are in this box, this portion of Lake Michigan, really concentrate on that 1830 to 1930 century. And a lot of them are the typical vessels you would see at that time in the mid to late 1800s and early 1900s. So we're talking about wooden schooners. These are wooden-hulled vessels with two or three masts. They were suited particularly well for the Great Lakes because they were very handy to sail in different kinds of conditions with not a lot of folks, and they could get in and out of these shallow ports. And then we also have a number of steamers, and this includes wooden-hulled vessels, iron and steel-hulled ships as well.
What led to some of these boats being now a wreck? What factors went into, losing these ships?
Yeah, so there's a quite a number of things that could happen to you when you're out on the lake, especially if you were out there 100+ years ago and you didn't have a lot of the modern navigational tools we have now. Of course, anyone who's familiar with the lakes, especially in the winter around here, knows that they can be pretty treacherous, right? So weather certainly played a huge factor in a lot of these sinkings. Also collisions. Again, this was such a busy waterway, and without radio communication, certainly without radar and things like that that help with positioning, collisions were a factor for many of these wrecks as well. Errors in navigation. Wrecking into something like the bottom of the lake or the shoreline. And then also Vessels who ran into some kind of problem along the way. They sprung a leak, they were overloaded, they were unstable and capsized, things like that, all contributed to sinkings. And of course, like the Niagara, we've mentioned marine accidents as well, things like fire.
We are talking to Kathy Green right now. She's an underwater archaeologist and the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. We are talking about shipwrecks in Lake Michigan, specifically in this new sanctuary that was established by NOAA in June. Let's talk about another boat. In 1886, the ship known as the Sella Chamberlain met its end in a really eventful way. Can you tell us a little bit about its history?
Yeah, the Sella Chamberlain was built in 1873, and it sank in 1886. This was a steam barge or a steam screw, so a steam vessel and used to transport bulk cargoes, those things like iron ore, coal, around the Great Lakes. Another thing that was fairly unique about Great Lakes vessels, and in this time in the late 1800s, these large steamships would often tow other boats in consort. So these would be barges or they would be older schooners, sailing ships that would be towed along behind the steamers to increase capacity. So in October of 1886, the Sella Chamberlain was towing another vessel and consort from Milwaukee up to Escanaba, where she was going to load some iron ore. And while heading north, she encountered some weather, some inclement weather. And about 7 miles from shore, the Chamberlain heard another vessel's whistle directly ahead. And the captain immediately turned to port, but it was too late. Again, reduced visibility often made it where these large vessels that were quite unwieldy could get incredibly close to each other before they saw each other.
And for people,
She was struck in a collision and sank very quickly in about 15 minutes.
And for people who might not be as familiar with shipping terminology or sailing terminology, can you explain just a little bit about, you said turn to port. Can you just explain what that looks like or what that is?
Yeah, so that's a left turn, right? So there's rules of the road. Even back in the 1880s, rules of the road, when two vessels are approaching each other, they're going to, you know, generally or kind of as a rule, if it's possible, both turn to port so they could avoid each other, right? Again, so the captain took the correct course of action, but just didn't have enough time to make that turn. The vessel is about 2 miles off Sheboygan, and she's broken into pieces on kind of a sandy bottom. It's a really great dive site. It's in about 90 feet of water. And a lot of the engine structure, a lot of the lower hull, even though it's broken into pieces, still kind of is sitting off the bottom. So it makes a really cool dive.
And, you know, where with the Sella Chamberlain in particular, where does it fit into, you know, the overall maritime Wisconsin history? Is it a popular story, or are there other stories that maybe capture the imagination a little bit more?
You know, that's an interesting question. I really like the Sella Chamberlain because it is it's not necessarily exceptional. It's typical of the trade that was going on at the time, the kind of vessels that were sailing at the time. And it's just one example of, you know, kind of these workaday vessels that really built our area and this part of the state, these ports and even the larger cities, Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay, wouldn't have been able to be built up to the degree they were and are without this transportation highway there. So this maritime history is really crucial to our state. And it's really cool that we have these tangible pieces left that we can use as touchstones to tell these stories.
We are talking to Kathy Green right now of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum about a newly designated shipwreck sanctuary in Lake Michigan. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. If you have any favorite shipwrecks or if you have any questions, again, the number is 800-642-1234. We will continue that conversation in just a minute. We have the news next. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Right now, we continue our conversation about shipwrecks in Lake Michigan in light of a newly established National Marine Sanctuary that encompasses around 962 square miles along the western edge of Lake Michigan. There are 36 known shipwrecks within that area, stretching from Kewaunee to Ozaukee County, and 59 shipwrecks that are on the historical record but haven't been found yet. Our guest right now is Kathy Green. She's an underwater archaeologist and the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about the state's maritime history? Is there a kid in your house who's into ships or shipwrecks? Or are you a kid at heart and you want to know more about some of the ships on the bottom of Lake Michigan? Call in now, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Jack from Caledonia. Hi, Jack.
How are you guys today?
Well.
My question is the mussels that are, the invasive mussels that are in Lake Michigan now. I mean, they've been here for, 30, 40 years or maybe longer. I was wondering if they are a detriment to the shipwrecks.
Jack, thank you for that call. Are invasive species like these mussels impacting these sites?
You know what? That's a great question. Zebra mussels and quagga mussels, these invasive species, are a huge impact to these shipwrecks. And just to give you an idea, when I started diving up here on the Great Lakes over 20 years ago, the visibility of the wrecks in the lake was not that great. So it was cloudy. Basically, there was lots of stuff between your eye and what you were looking at. So maybe you could only see 10 feet, 20 feet. Nowadays, when you dive on some of these wrecks where you could see 20 feet 20 years ago, you might be able to see 100 feet or more. So that exponential change in clearing up of the visibility in the water means the phytoplankton that was there is gone. It's been eaten up by these mussels. So while that makes it easier for you to see, imagine what that means for fish populations, right? For the ecology of the lakes. But as far as the impact to the dive sites themselves, I mentioned these sites are incredibly well preserved. Think of an 1870s schooner, wooden schooner with a mast still standing, with a lifeboat on the rail. There's examples like that out there. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you might, you could go down and see that, read the name board on the side if it was still intact. Now, what you see is the silhouette, the shape of that covered by zebra mussels or covered by quagga mussels. So it's a huge factor, not necessarily that the mussels are impacting the sites by, eating them. They're not wood eating organisms, but they attach to them. And sometimes they attach 5 or 6 inches, wide on top of each other. So there is concern that the extra weight could be accelerating the deterioration. It certainly changes the landscape on the bottom, because you, again, are looking at, if you go to any of the websites that feature these sites, like wisconsinshipwrecks.org, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's these incredible silhouettes of wrecks, but they're simply covered in zebra mussels.
Jack, thank you so much for that question. I want to stick with our callers right now. We have Stephen in La Crosse. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
What did you want to ask about?
Oh, my question was about the visibility of some of the shipwrecks from the surface. Are any of them visible, 90 feet of water or 40 feet of water? And if so, where would they be? And if not, are they located by like a GPS locator?
Stephen, thank you so much for that call. Kathy, visibility maybe for people who are going to stay on top of the water.
Yeah, that's, the last question kind of prompted. The visibility in the lake these days is generally really good, really clear, as far as how far you can see, in particular in the spring and early summer before you get a lot of the marine growth on the wrecks. So in effect, over the last few years, folks have had really great luck with locating shipwrecks from actually, we have somebody here in the area that uses a powered parachute. So kind of one of these gliders going over the shoreline. She's found several shipwrecks that way. We actually had, Noah actually had a team here over the last 2 weeks using commercial drones to be able to find shipwrecks that way in shallow waters. So yes, absolutely. These shallower sites, ones that are snorkelable, or you could kayak over and see 10, 12 feet down into the bottom. You can see those from the surface. There's been some really incredible pictures this summer from all over the Great Lakes of vessels that are in, say, deeper water, 20 feet, 30 feet, that you can see from the surface. So yeah, that's a great way to do it. And deeper water, you would locate sites with GPS. Coordinates are published for these known sites. And the state of Wisconsin puts out mooring buoys on a number of these sites, and the sanctuary will continue helping with that program as well.
Thank you so much for that call, Stephen. We are talking to Kathy Green, underwater archaeologist and executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. She's with us to talk about shipwrecks in light of the recently established shipwreck marine sanctuary off of the eastern coast of Wisconsin, the western portion of Lake Michigan. Now, Kathy, there is an educational component to this sanctuary. Can you talk a little bit about how teachers have gotten involved in what they are hoping to bring back into the classroom?
Yeah, well, the story of Wisconsin maritime history and the shipwrecks here is something that we convey and help teachers bring into their classrooms at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And it's something that the National Marine Sanctuary Program does as well. So whether it's providing curriculum, whether it's gathering online resources, or one of the programs we do at the Maritime Museum is a program where we really take teachers on a deep dive, so to speak, into not just maritime history, but the ecology of the lakes, and provide them with opportunities to get their students not only to the museum, but to the lakeshore and to connect with Wisconsin waterways.
And the sanctuary, just maybe pulling it out just a little bit, is the sanctuary or the preservation of these shipwrecks good for tourism in this area?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's one of the things that I think is unique about this site or about our location here, and that we have four different communities who have been integral to this process all along. So linking those communities, having us work together and with NOAA to protect and promote our maritime heritage is definitely going to help all of us as far as heritage tourism, as creating a destination in this mid-Lake Michigan area. We've already seen kind of an increased awareness, and I think that's just going to continue as NOAA is on the ground and making more, having more of a presence and a bigger impact here.
Kathy, we had Kim from Appleton call, but she couldn't stay on the line. But she wants to know if you know anything about the Emerald. She says it was a ship that wrecked off the coast of Kewaunee in 1869 and was notable for having a woman as part of the crew. What do we know about the Emerald?
Ooh, Emerald. That is not one I'm familiar with off the top of my head. But really quickly, if you give me a second here. What I'm looking on, the resource that I'm using is one that I encourage folks to check out. This is the Wisconsin Historical Society's Wisconsin Shipwreck page. And they, again, they've been doing fantastic work for over 30 years documenting these sites. And one of the things they do is to put this information up online. And this includes everything from photos to the historic research that's been done to the latitude and longitude of these sites if you want to go visit them yourself. But I don't see an emerald off Kewaunee, so I'm not sure about that.
That's okay. Sometimes I get stumped on the air and you rolled with it really well. We are talking right now about Wisconsin shipwreck history with Kathy Green of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And we're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. This June, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration established the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary. It protects nearly 1,000 square miles of Lake Michigan. There are 36 historic shipwrecks within the boundary of the sanctuary, and our guest right now is Kathy Green, underwater archaeologist and executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And we are taking your calls right now. Have you ever dived to see any shipwrecks in Lake Michigan? Do you think the new shipwreck sanctuary will help tourism in the area? And what would you like to see if you were to visit the sanctuary? Call in now, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So, Kathy, let's talk a little bit about archaeology. It's something that you are duly familiar with. You've dived. What is it like to go on one of these diving expeditions to look at these shipwrecks?
So underwater archaeology is, I mean, it sounds like a really cool thing, right? A really interesting profession to do. And it is. So it's relatively new. So folks are probably familiar with terrestrial archaeology or land archaeology, right? You're digging down through layers to find material remains of the past. Underwater archaeology, a little different, in that you're not necessarily digging down through layers of strata and piecing together a story that way. You're simply, in a lot of cases, using scuba gear and diving down to take a look at these things. And, you know, it's the same principle, though. You're putting together clues from these material remains to tell a story. And so whether that is measuring and drawing out these sites, which is traditionally what we've done, to using some of more high-tech and really incredible tools that are out there today, digital photography, photogrammetry, to put together really detailed and accurate photos, 3D renderings, and models of these sites. That's what archaeology does. And using the way the shipwreck site has been laid out on the bottom. Again, you can maybe piece together the story of what happened in the past or figure out what a site is in the first place if it's a new find.
Now, Kathy, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Stuart in Milwaukee. Hi, Stuart.
Hi there. My question, Kathy, is I was diving out on the Appomattox off of Atwater Beach just north of Milwaukee last week, and we just slung a rope onto the buoy, and I just wanted to make sure, is that appropriate, or should we anchor off to the side and swim over to the wreck? How do you deal with that?
Kathy?
That is a great question. And you know what? That's one of my favorite shipwrecks. I worked for the state of Wisconsin in the early 2000s, and I was a part of the team that did the original site map for that site. For folks not familiar with it, it's, yeah, just off, what is that, Shorewood, right? Just north of Milwaukee. And you did exactly what you're supposed to do. That's one of the state's shipwreck mooring buoys that's maintained annually by the state of Wisconsin and a group of dedicated volunteers. You tie right up to that buoy, and that prevents you from inadvertently damaging that site with your anchor, and especially the Appomattox, which is such a huge site, over 300 feet long, I believe, that you want to use that mooring buoy. It's also in fairly shallow water, so that's a good way to just secure yourself. It's only about 23 feet deep and not too far off the beach there. So that's going to keep you safe. It's going to give you that known point of ascent and descent. And you can check it out ahead of time on that Wisconsin shipwreck site to figure out where you're going to be tied into the wreck so you can plan your dive and kind of maximize the your time on the bottom.
Thank you so much for that call, Stuart. And Kathy, can you tell us just a little bit about the history of this shipwreck?
You bet. Yeah. So it was built in the late 1800s, 1896, and sank in 1905. This was a steam vessel, but this was one of the largest wooden-hulled steam vessels built on the Great Lakes. It was built by a builder named James Davidson, who was known for kind of staying with wooden hull construction at a time when a lot of things were being built with steel hulls. So at 319 feet long, the Appomattox was the largest wooden bulk steamer ever constructed on the Great Lakes. And the way that Davidson was able to do this was to use steel cross bracing to kind of shore up that wooden structure. Otherwise, the hull is so long, you're going to have the ends of it that are either going to kind of curve up or kind of flop down. So this extra bracing was key there. The Appomattox career was relatively short for a Davidson vessel. These were, again, very well-built boats. And so the fact that she only lasted for less than a decade was pretty short. She was, again, like the vessel we mentioned before, like the Chamberlain, towing another vessel, and both were loaded heavily with coal. This was a weather incident. So the Appomattox went aground, had a complicated by the weather, was some poor choices in navigation. So she went hard aground and had some considerable bottom damage. A lot of times these vessels would be refloated and be able to be salvaged. But with the storm that pounded this vessel over and over again on the bottom, she wasn't able to be refloated and has been there ever since. Like many of these vessels, a lot of the equipment was salvaged. But again, this is a huge hull on the bottom. It's a fantastic dive, again, because it's nice and shallow at 23 feet. Depending on the conditions, you might even be able to get an idea of this wreck from the surface.
We are talking to Kathy Green right now. She's an underwater archaeologist and the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And we are taking your calls and questions at 800-642-1234. Now, you just talked about the Appomattox, that a lot of ships would have been maybe repurposed if they weren't too damaged. But as we know, many of these ships are on the bottom of Lake Michigan in this sanctuary. From an archaeological standpoint, would there be any reason at all that there would be an exhumation of any of these wrecks today?
Yeah. So would we want to bring one up? No. the short answer is no, because I talked about these vessels being so well preserved in the cold, fresh water of the Great Lakes. It's like putting these vessels in a freezer, right? Frozen in time. But if you brought them up from that environment, and they would dry out and they would deteriorate very quickly, and you would have nothing left. The cases where vessels have been brought up, and I'm thinking, like in Europe, there's a couple examples of vessels that have been completely raised and preserved. It's taken decades and millions of dollars of preservation to stabilize those vessels to where, you know, they can now be part of a museum. There actually was a vessel, the Alvin Clark, that was brought up from Green Bay in the 1960s with just that idea. And in talking about the state of preservation, it was ingenious how these folks raised the ship. And when they brought it to the surface and were able to pump out the water, they towed it back in. It was floating on its own accord back into dock. But there was not that preservation plan in place. So while this was an incredible story, at the time, it was on the national news. It was such a big deal. And it was turned into a museum where you could walk on the deck and walk around. It quickly fell apart. And so, you know, the result is the Alvin Clark is not around anymore today. Its remains were bulldozed into a landfill. And there's just a scattering of artifacts around the region. And the folks who were around as part of that excavation to tell that story. So I think the thing is what that demonstrates is that there's incredible history there. And telling those stories is so intriguing to people. So places like the sanctuary, places like the Maritime Museum, places like the Wisconsin Historical Society, you know, our job is to tell those stories while, you know, keeping those sites intact where they are.
Well, Kathy, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Kathy Green is an underwater archaeologist and the executive director of the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. She joins us today to talk about the history of Wisconsin shipwrecks in light of a newly established marine sanctuary in Lake Michigan. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.